episode 54 of
Brutal Battle. That's kind of like my semi-singing, semi-just saying it, you know, whatever. But, so everyone, as you could hear, the person who said the episode number, Sean Creel, he's back.
I'm back.
And we're happy that you're back, dude. We're happy. Which, by the way, I want to say real quick, well, let's do the hop knowledge, and then I want to ask you about how Brewkeep's doing.
Let's get right into it. Let's hop into it.
You want to do the intro?
Hop knowledge.
Yes.
Hippity hop.
I love it. And Stu loves it, I'm sure. All right, so the hop for today is Czech Saz, not discontinued, just so you know, from the Czech Republic, which makes sense from the name. Description is mild, spicy, earthy. Details, Czech Saz is one of the four noble hop varieties. Did you want to expound upon that about noble hop varieties?
There's kind of four varieties. They're the traditional hop varieties that basically the most important characteristic kind of behind them is that their alpha and beta levels are pretty much equal.
Okay.
So it helps with, there's not like an overpowering bitterness that comes off of it. It's kind of a more smooth, mellowed bitterness characteristic comes through. I'm on the spot right now. I'm trying to remember the
no,
four
fine.
Of them. It's Tetnang, Halutau, Czech Saz, and I'm forgetting one more.
That's fine. You taught me a lot more than I knew. I had heard noble hops thrown around, but I didn't actually know what that meant.
They're all European varieties. They're very traditional. They're only considered noble technically if they are that specific variety grown in the specific region where they originated from.
Okay.
So it's much along like the same. You hear about terroir a lot in wine. It's the same kind of thing with the hop varieties. Is that you're not only getting the genetic makeup of these hops, but you're also getting the characteristics coming through the ground, the soil, all the minerals and everything that they're feeding them.
Very cool. Well, a little more info. Named after the city of Saz in northwest Bohemia, now named Zadix, Czech Republic, where it was first grown. Only called Czech Saz if grown in its original growing region. Saz refers to this entire class of hops with similar genetic makeup regardless of region. Prized for its flavor and aroma characteristics, Saz is the predominant Czech hop variety. Used for bitterness, flavor, and aroma, substitutions include Lublin and Sterling. And I do have some examples, including Trogues Dreamweaver, which is a wheat beer, and Harpoon's Big Bohemian Pilsner. So that's a little info for y'all about the hops. So we do have in front of us a warm-up beer at the moment. It is a beer that there's been, I don't know, some mixed reviews on. So I wanted to kind of have this beer tasted during this episode and talk to Sean about it because he's got a little bit of backstory on kind of the genesis of this beer, I guess I could say. But it's the Burger Cookie Stout by... Full Tilt Brewing.
I know I told you about it with a pretty high recommendation. I met with one of the brewers, Nick. He's one of the co-owners of the company. They're contract brewers, so they work with Peabody Brewing Company. But they design all the recipes themselves. They're home brewers, and so they do everything in 5 or 10 gallon test batches. And so I actually went over to his house and tried the beer, the last test batch before they came out with it, and I loved it. I thought it was amazing. I told you about it, told you to go pick it up when it first came out.
Yes, and I did. I got a 4-pack of it the day it came out, and, you know, Rebecca brought it home. She actually was the one who was able to pick it up. She brought it home, and we popped a bottle open, and we were... vastly underwhelmed, unfortunately. And I texted Sean immediately and was like, this beer is not good. Which he was very surprised about, though.
I was out there for the release party when they launched the beer at the Admiral's Cup down in Fells Point. I had it, two varieties of it, actually, that night. I had it on draft, and I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't exactly like the homebrew variety that they brewed up that I tried, which is to be expected, I think, because, you know, when you switch from a 5 or 10 gallon, you know, bucket fermentation to a full scale brewery fermentation, I don't know, maybe they're doing like 20 barrels or something like that, which is like, you know, it's the size of the fermenter makes a huge difference, and the amount of pressure that's pushing down as well, because it changes the way the yeast works and it can kind of stress it out a little bit. And also some of the characteristics that you're, some of the adjuncts that you're adding to it can kind of drop out to the bottom. And so they're not fully circulating through the whole beer. So you get parts of it that pull off with less of the characteristic than other parts. So, you know, I think it's, there's definitely some adjustments that you can make. I thought the beer though that I had that first night was pretty good. And then they also came out with a cask of it that was, that one of the things that they noticed right away when they pulled it out was it didn't quite have as much vanilla as it did in their test batches.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, we've been tasting this. We actually started tasting it a little bit before we started recording, and I'm getting, like, no vanilla in it. I get a little bit of kind of like a buttery, like, kind of like a buttery cookie scent on it. I don't really get much of any flavor of that, but it's really just kind of like bitter, a little bit of coffee to it, and then nothing.
Well, you know, what we're drinking right now is still one of the bottles from that first pack that you got.
Yep.
I know right now that they're actually on their third, maybe even fourth batch of this beer now. I picked up a pack last weekend, and I still thought it was pretty good. You know, it was back to what I was expecting from it. I never had any from the first batch of bottles when it came out. I'm tasting this one right now, and I'll admit I'm a little bit disappointed in this one. It feels kind of flat to me, not carbonation-wise, but flavor-wise. It's just kind of one note, yeah. A little bit of chocolate, a little bit of coffee, not a whole lot else. But I know one of the things that I've talked to them about is in their test batches that they were doing, they knew if they had too much vanilla in there, it just tasted awful. And
so they're just trying to find that balance.
When they were trying to, you know, when they're scaling the recipe up from homebrew batch to the full production batch, that they knew there were going to be some differences, and they wanted to err on the side of caution with the vanilla, not go overboard with it. And so I think they probably went a little low in this first batch with the bottles. I don't undraft it, you know. I think if you let it warm up a little bit, there's a little more that comes out of it. But you know, the newer batches that I've tasted have
a lot better.
been exactly what I was expecting from it.
So that it is good to hear that they're doing what really breweries should be doing. If they have a release of a product and it's not, you know, meeting what the market's looking for, that they're tweaking the recipe as the batches go on to kind of get it up to par for what they want or what the people want. So that's good and encouraging.
Ideally, you'd want it to come out perfect, you know, right away, right off the bat. But it's an art, it's a craft, you know, you gotta work with it a little bit, especially when you're just getting started out and you don't have everything dialed in between your test batches and your production breweries. And, you know, they're looking to build up and make their own brewery eventually, but for the time being, they're just doing the contract brewing. It's, you know, it's the way that they're able to get started and make these beers for us. So, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to play around with the batches and know exactly how it's going to change from one system to the other.
Well, but I think the other thing about them is that they're a relatively new brewery. They're only a few years old.
They just had their first anniversary.
Not even a few years old.
I think maybe a couple weeks ago.
I thought they were like 2 years, but I guess they're 1 year old. And, yeah, so you look at someone like a brewery like Trogues. You know, Trogues has been around for, I don't even know how long, you know, probably around 15 years or so, maybe even more, probably more actually. I'm pretty sure it's more than that. Then you look at them and it's like 1 year. So there's going to be adjustment period. Obviously they can't just nail everything immediately, but, you know, I will say I was really disappointed in this beer, and I know a lot of people who were as well, but
I've heard a lot about a lot of that from the first batch of bottles. So I'd encourage you to go out and try it on draft or find a spot where you can pick up a single of it. See if you get one of the new batches, because I think it's a pretty good beer.
I think I'll do that. So I hope it is much better, and I hope that they're able to kind of learn from this experience and, you know, get a little bit better at putting out the top product is, you know, on the first go, which, you know, like I said, they're a year old. It's going to be kind of tough, but over time, I'm sure they'll get that down. So, but anyway, did you have anything else to say about this topic or?
No, I mean, yeah, I think, like I said, I've had it a couple times since then, and I thought the beer was great. It's, you know, it's a subtle little bit of a vanilla in there. You get some of that, breadiness a little bit, the lighter malts, and then there's that little hints of sweet chocolate, but it's balanced with the bitter chocolate as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, I will say about it too, you know, it's not a bad beer. It's a drinkable beer. It's just not what it promises to be. Is what the big letdown is with it. It's a solid stout in itself. You know, it's not like one of the, like, I wouldn't consider it to be like a good stout. I would consider it to be an okay stout. But, you know, when you say, like, burger cookie, I'm looking for those notes. You know, if someone didn't know what it was and they were sipping on it, they'd be like, yeah, I can drink this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think what I've had the past couple of days and in the newer batches that have come out, I was pretty happy with it. So I definitely encourage you to try it again if you had it early on in the bottles. So I think it's a pretty good beer.
Do so. Do it on our direction, everyone. So I wanted to transition over to another topic, something we touched on last episode about beer freshness. We had, you know, for our mystery beers last episode, beers that were out of date code. One that we could tell on the bottle was some months old. Another one that didn't have a date code on it, but we were sure it was out of date code because there were no hops
to it. That's not what I expected from when I saw when you pulled it out of the bag.
Yeah, no, me neither. But, you know, I've really been on a crusade lately to drink beers that are within date code. And if I'm finding beers that are outside of date code, kind of letting the establishment selling it know what the deal is. Part of the problem, though, is kind of the culture of liquor stores around here, which is you don't have to worry about the date of alcohol. And I think it's kind of going to be an adjustment period, if it ever happens, where they decide to start pulling the stuff off the shelf. I know that if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sam Adams, their distributors, they have their distributors buy the beer back if it's out of date.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bigger breweries are definitely have a system in place to go through and buy back. I mean, it takes a lot though for a brewery to be able to know exactly where their beers are. You know, I mean, ideally you'd want to know where every beer is on the shelf and exactly what date it is. But a problem that you have too is sometimes you'll get lazy stockers that'll just push new stuff right on the front and they won't cycle it around. Yeah. So you've got all this old beer stuck in the back of the shelf. And it looks like to the brewer and to the distributor that everything's selling and moving through, but you've got this whole backlog of old beer.
Yeah, that's a problem. But I guess the other thing, though, is I know that if these liquor stores would see that these things are these beers are out of date, that they can contact the brewery and have them buy it back from them. Right. I know that they can do that for a fact because I've worked at liquor stores before, and that's how it operates. So it's just kind of upsetting to me when it's not happening. You know, I actually did have an instance that I'll tell everyone about where I went, Maine Beer Company just started distributing in Maryland very, very recently. And I've heard really good things about their beer.
They make some great beers.
Do they? I haven't had any good ones yet. Well, and it's not because of them.
If you find the Red Wheelbarrow anywhere, that one's sold out pretty quick. Okay. So you won't have a date code issue most likely with the Red Wheelbarrow. That's a fantastic beer.
Well, I did purchase four of their beers from Wine World, which is local to us. I got their Mo, their Peeper Ale, their straight up, their King Titus, and their Old Mean Tom. And I cracked open, I believe it was the Mo first, which is a pale ale, and immediately just getting skunk on the nose. Like, I didn't even pour it in the glass yet.
Yeah.
And I was getting the skunk
sniffing
smell.
Out of the bottle.
That's how bad. So I even tried to taste it. I'm like, you know, I'm going to make sure. I tried to taste it. Awful. Just so skunked. And then I look, and it's out of date code. And it says on the label, drink within 90 days of date code. And it was, I mean, I was drinking this in December, and it was marked July date code.
Okay.
So 90 days within July, it was not.
Yeah.
Or 90 days after July, it was not. So I was kind of pissed off, so I'm like, well, let me move to another one. So I pulled out the Peeper Ale. Same problem, skunked. Not as skunked, but still skunked. And then I looked at the other two bottles, and the King Titus was out of date code as well. Thankfully, the Old Mean Tom was not, and that's their stout aged on natural vanilla beans.
Vanilla beans, yeah.
Which I have not tried yet, but I'm very excited to try. So I took these three bottles of bad beer back, two of them empty, one of them full. And, you know, I said to the liquor store, to Wine World, I was like, you know, I have to return these. They're skunky. They're terrible. They're out of date code. I will say this, the checkout, the female at checkout was very, very rude. She was, I could just tell she was having a bad day. It was early in the morning, and she was just, she's having an attitude, and that's actually something that I don't like. Usually I'm very happy with the service I get at Wine World, but, you know, to this person, and you, if you ever listen to this, you know who you are, check your attitude at the door, because people do not appreciate that kind of crap. And I've been there, I know, I've worked for liquor stores before in my past, and, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest to get up and go in there and deal with customers, but you need to move forward if you want to be someone who's successful in life, and acting the way you did, shame on you. You suck. So, that's a little tangent. Sorry, that's just a side tangent. But, so they did refund the money, and I was like, okay, I'm not buying any more here, because yeah. They're out of date code. So I then go to Friendship Liquors, which is not far away, you know. Maybe like a mile.
Right down the street.
Yeah, real close. And, you know, I had no problem with Friendship in the past. I go in there and I see it. I'm like, oh my God, they have so much Maine beer. It's insane. So I start looking through them. And I'm like, you're not going to fool me again with this date code situation. So I'm going to check it myself. I start looking through. Everyone is out of date code.
Wow.
Out of date code as far back, some of them, as March of that year. Pretty bad. So I was like, I can't buy any of these because they're going to be bad. So I went up and I spoke to the person at checkout because there was something I did need to purchase. I was buying a six pack of Duclos Serum, which is an awesome beer for Kyle Norman, actually, because he was like, I have to have that beer. It is good. So I let him know. I was like, you know, I was looking at your main beer company beers and they're all out of date code. And I had some recently that were out of date code and they're all skunky. They're terrible. I just want to let you know so you can, you know, rectify the situation. To which the person says, well, we haven't had any complaints about it. People say it's fine. And I was like, okay, but I've had it out of date code and it's skunky and it's terrible. People are going to buy it once, taste it, think that that's how it's supposed to be, and then never buy it again.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, I don't know. I've had nothing but great experiences at that store. I mean, I know a couple of the people that are kind of in charge of the beer department there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. I want to go talk to them about this because they're very knowledgeable about the products that they have in there. They have, you know, I've seen beers that have been quote unquote old in there, but they're beers that are made that for aging and cellaring.
Right.
Same with Wine World as well.
Yeah.
You know, they actually have a whole section of cellared beers there.
Yeah.
So, but you know, if you're talking about pale ales and IPAs, those are definitely beers you want to drink within 3 months of the born on date.
You know, maybe part of my problem in the way I dealt with the situation was the fact that I just said something to the cashier, because that might be a person who's, you know, they don't have a whole lot to say for the company itself. So, you know, I had never had any problems with Friendship Liquors until this, and that actually, I mean, personally, it really pisses me off. When someone doesn't care about the product.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe this is a distributor problem. Because if it's happening at Wine World and it's happening at Friendship, you know, where else is it happening? Is it because of the distributor? I do know that Wine World told me at one point that they had to stop selling six-point beers because they were getting the beer from the distributor either already out of date code or almost out of date code.
Wow.
So they couldn't really sell it. So they stopped ordering it from them. So this could be a similar situation. But
yeah, it gets tricky with the whole three-tier system, like
yes.
Who's going to step up and be responsible and make sure, you know, the, you know, in an ideal world, the breweries are going to have people going around right. And looking, and, you know, if you've got enough reps that you can send them out to each of your stores that are carrying you and look through, and if you've got old beer, pull it off the shelf, be willing. But, you know, at the same time, like the liquor stores and the distributors, they've each paid for the beer at each step. They don't want to take the risk on themselves of pulling it back and hoping that they're going to get their money back for it. So it makes it tricky.
Yeah. Well, what I did do then, since I was so ticked off, is I immediately sent an email to Maine Beer Company and I let them know about the situation. And I said, you know, you got bad beer in Maryland, and this isn't fair to you because you just expanded into this market, and people are going to, this is the first impression they're going to have of your beer, and they're never going to buy it again, and that's not cool.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, you buy one bad beer or one, you know, one beer that's just lackluster, especially with a brewery like Maine Beer Company, when you're buying their beers, they're coming in those, the bigger bottles. They're like 16.9 ounces.
Yeah.
And they're going to cost you like between $6 and $8 a piece.
Yep.
When you get them fresh, they're absolutely worth it. They're delicious beers. But if you get a lackluster beer and you're paying that much for a single bottle, you're going to be pretty hesitant to buy another one. So,
well, and I mean, case in point, you know, I had that first batch of the Burger Cookie Stout and I never wanted to try it again. But, you know, Sean has told me that it's gotten better because they've tweaked the recipe. But your common consumer, they get that first impression, and that's what they're going with.
Yeah.
And they're done with it. If it wasn't good, they think that it's like that all the time. And the other thing is, your common beer consumer doesn't really know about date coding so much,
right,
and doesn't know that there's kind of an optimal time to try these beers. And that's kind of the disadvantage that the consumer has, where, you know, the industry needs to start picking up the slack and making sure that the consumers aren't getting bad stuff.
Absolutely. It's part of it. I mean, that's really the most difficult part about the craft beer industry is education.
Yeah.
You know, how do you educate people about it without, you know, getting too nerdy and too boring about it? It's a tough line to walk. So,
yeah, but I will say Maine Beer Company got back to me and they were very concerned and they said, thank you for letting me know about this situation.
Awesome.
And they said,
it's good that they're responsive. It shows that they care about their product. They want to get it fixed
big time. And they said, you know, give us the names of the liquor stores specifically because we want to know and we're going to talk to the distributor and get this sorted out. And I basically said, awesome, here are the names. You know, I hope to taste some good beer of yours in the future that's not out of date code. So a few days after that, too, they sent me another email and just said, you know, just really wanted to thank you again for letting us know. So, you know, a few things. One, if anyone out there has had bad beer from Maine Beer Company and it was out of date code, give them a shot once they get this situation figured out.
They've got some really good beer.
And the second thing is just be diligent about looking at that stuff yourself. Look at the date coding. And if you see an issue, let the establishment know because they might do something about it.
Yeah.
And if the establishment refuses to do something, contact the brewery directly. A lot of these breweries are very responsive to this kind of stuff. I even recently had a situation where I got a beer that exploded on me, Hyperdog by Pipeworks, and it was severely infected. It didn't stop foaming out of the bottle for about 5 minutes. No lie. It just kept going and going and going. I was really bummed because I had bought that online. You can't get Pipeworks around here, and I was just like, oh, God. So I emailed him, and I said, you know, just want to let you know, this one was bad. It was infected. I gave him the batch number because they put batch numbers on their bottles. And they said, you know, thanks so much for letting us know. We're going to check the control bottle from that batch and see what the deal is. And they said, in the meantime, you know, why don't you come in and have a free tour and we'll send you home with a little bit of free whatever we're bottling that day.
Awesome.
And I said, that's awesome. I live in Maryland. So
time for a road trip.
Well, I was like, I can't make it out, but thank you anyway. So they got back and they were like, well, hey, how about we send you a glass, a Pipeworks glass at least. And I'm like, okay, awesome, cool. I'm thinking they're going to send me a pint glass. They actually sent me a really nice Pipeworks beer snifter. Super nice.
That's
snifter.
Awesome.
And I drink like all my beer out of that. So Pipeworks, if you ever hear this, thank you so much. You did the right thing in the way that you have been responding to these things. So
speaking of
and Maine Beer Company did the right thing.
Speaking of exploding beer,
yeah.
I had Christmas Eve dinner at my house with a whole bunch of family. You know, we had about 13, 15 people in the house. And I thought it would be a great time to pop open a growler of cider, homemade cider. So I, you know, I pulled it out. I was really excited about this. It's supposed to be, you know, a slightly sweet, you know, uncarbonated cider. And so I just went to pop the top on the growler. And the whole damn thing exploded and created a volcano in my kitchen.
Oh,
it was a mess. I have no idea what happened to that, but definitely wasn't flat.
To anyone out there who's never experienced an exploding beer, just wait for the day that you do.
It'll be exciting.
An experience,
yeah,
to say the
absolutely.
Least. But yeah, I mean, it's about that time. We got, you know, these mystery beers sitting right in front of us. They both look dark, which could be good. So let's go ahead and jump in. A, looks, brown, a little like red brown though.
Yeah. I can't. Got a reddish color to it. It's got a good head on it.
Can't see through it. Nope, definitely can't see through it. Put it right up to my eyeball. Yeah,
there's a little, you know, there's some light coming through it, but there's, you can't really make out shapes or anything. It's really, really hazy. I'm going to smell this, and I'm glad I'm sitting in for Kyle tonight, because this smells like a sour beer.
It smells kind of apple-y to me. It's definitely got that apple-y note. What are you getting out of there?
I get some grape and apple, those tart fruit flavors.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
This smells like a, you know, like a Flemish red kind of.
Good pick. I could definitely see that. I've had maybe two Flemish reds in my day, and this does smell similar to that. This is an interesting smell.
I'm excited. I haven't had a sour beer in a while.
I have not either. Well, let's go ahead and try this.
I hope it's intentional. After our long discussion over date codes.
I think it's safe to say that's a sour beer.
Mm. That's really good.
Wow. Mm.
Lots of grape characteristics. Oh my gosh.
I get a lot of apple, too. Mm-hmm. Like I was getting on the nose, I'm getting in the flavor.
Sometimes with sour beers, you'll get those like real deep balsamic vinegar characteristics. I get more of like an apple vinegar off of this. Yeah. So it's a lot lighter.
It's very apple vinegary.
Very fruity.
Finishes quite dry.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nice dry like cider.
You get that secondary fermentation. You usually with the sour beers, you'll ferment it once, and then you put the wild bacteria and stuff in there. And so it's just eating over a long period of time, all those residual sugars that were in the original beer, it's just continuing to eat away at those. So that's why it finishes so dry. There's hardly any sugar left over in it at all once everything's done with it.
You know, honestly, you know, I say that I'm not a sour beer person, but this is actually kind of doing me right at the moment.
I think
it's pretty good. I don't think it's like the most phenomenal thing I've had, but this is a pretty monumental step for me. Okay. As far as sour beers go, I feel like. Working into it? Yeah, I feel like this one could be a pretty good entry point for me.
This one finishes real clean, too. It's not, you know, just, I mean, it finishes dry, but also the sourness kind of goes away after that first sip.
Yeah, it's like you get the excitement and just like kind of like a little bit of the face ripping of something sour, and then it just
dissipates.
Yeah, it lets go. It's not lingering. It's not causing your palate any issues. Pretty well done. Whoever that turns out to be, good job.
I like that a lot.
It's surprising to me. Surprising that I'm enjoying it. Well, let's move on to beer B real quick. This one is darker than beer A.
Yeah, this is.
It's got a little bit of red around the edges that you can see.
Very, very little, yeah.
But when you look at it straight on, it looks black as night, and you definitely can't see through it. It's got a little bit of tan head.
Yeah, pretty kind of low head, but it's still there. It sticks around a good amount.
God, it smells like chocolate milk.
Wow. Yep.
I'm gonna go ahead and go out on a limb and guess this is Terrapin's Moohoo.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a sweet kind of like a mocha.
Oh, very. Chocolate milk, mocha.
Get a little bit of that coffee coming through there. There's a shot of espresso poured into it or something.
Yeah, there is some coffee in it, but oh my gosh, like the chocolate is just assaulting your nose. It's just like at the forefront, just beating its way through your nostrils. Mm. It's like this is chocolate, like nobody's business. It's like milk. It is like milk chocolate.
Definitely, yeah, it's really
creamy. Milk chocolatey. Oh man, I'm not getting much of anything else either.
It's hard to pick anything, you know, just a touch of coffee, mostly sweet chocolate.
Well, I am inclined to go ahead and give this a swig. It's the chocolate's not as overstated in the flavor as it is in the aroma.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more sweet, like creamy chocolate on my tongue than I got, but it's not bad. It's not slightly different.
This is one of those instances where, and this happens a lot with beer, the aroma is promising one thing and the flavor is delivering something different. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing in the case of this beer. I just think it depends on who you are and what you're looking for. If you're sitting there and you're smelling it and you're like, oh my god, this straight up smells like chocolate milk. I want to drink chocolate milk now. And then you drink
it. Excited for that.
Yeah, you're then going to be kind of disappointed. But looking from the perspective of what I assume is a stout, I think it's safe to say, if you're just looking for a stout with some chocolate notes to it, you know, this is a I think it's a good stout.
Decent milk stout, yeah. You know, it's just a touch of sweetness in there. It's like it was in the nose, it smells a lot sweeter than it really is. But
yeah,
I think there's plenty of sweetness to cover up kind of the bitter chocolate malts in there.
Yeah, you're still getting the chocolate on, and you're getting it on the mm-hmm. finish. It's just not like super strong. It's a little more subtle, but it plays well on the palate, I think.
I think, you know, instead of drinking a Yoo-hoo, it's more like drinking like a chocolate flavored iced coffee or something.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not getting a ton of coffee on the flavor though.
Okay.
But I think it's probably just because I'm just really perceiving the chocolate itself. Yeah. I feel like chocolate's kind of one of those flavors that can take over all the other flavors if they're not strong enough. Like the coffee's obviously not extremely strong in this, so the chocolate's definitely overtaking.
Yeah.
But I was getting a little bit of that in the nose. Okay.
Not a whole lot of notes that are jumping out all over the place, but what's here is really well done. You know, it was good flavor.
That is interesting. After B, go to A.
These are two very different beers. This is going to be weird.
Drinking B and then going to A makes A taste sweeter to me. It's a little less sour.
Could be too, you know, I know I've never gone back and forth between a stout and a sour beer, but
I don't think many people have.
If you are just drinking a sour beer, your taste buds will start to get a little bit numb to that sourness, and so you'll start to pick up on some of the deeper flavors underneath. Like in the beginning, you'll just get these really tart fruit flavors, but then you'll start to pick out some of the maltiness as well. If they use like Belgian candy sugars or something, you might pick out some of that as well.
Very cool. It's going to be hard for me to make a decision on these beers. They're extremely different, so trying to kind of
balance and forth between two.
Yeah, to kind of be like, okay, this one's this number, so this one's this number type thing. Going to make it kind of tough.
I think I know where I want to go.
You do. Then do you want to be the leader on these?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I think with B, for me personally, you know, I smelled that sweet chocolate aroma, and I got excited. I thought I had a glass of Yoo-hoo in my hand. I mean, that's what I was really looking for, and I tasted it. It's a good beer. There's nothing, you know, nothing bad about it, but for me, I was just expecting a lot more of that sweet kind of dessert type of beer. So I'd probably go with a 4 for this one, just the way it built up my expectations and didn't quite meet what I was anticipating.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I was gonna go 4 on this one as well.
Okay.
Because, like it doesn't deliver what it's kind of promising, and even if you're not taking the aroma into account, it's okay, but it's not like phenomenal. You know, you're getting the nice chocolate. It's drinkable, and it's something I could drink again. It's not something I don't think I would intentionally go back to. So, it'd be a 4 overall on that one. What did you want to give A?
I think on B, I haven't had it in a while, but I think that you might be right with your guess.
The Moohoo?
Yeah.
Which, if it is the Moohoo Stout, it would kind of be on par for what I've thought of the Moohoo Stout. Solid, but not something that I'm, like, wild about. So
I really want to try. They have a white chocolate Moohoo Stout.
Yeah,
I've heard good things about that.
I was close to getting my hands on it. I was also close to getting my hands on their Cinnamon Rolled Wake and Bake, which is their oatmeal coffee stout.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, but they slipped through my grasp, unfortunately. So, another time. What do you want to put on A there?
A, I'm digging this. Much like Kyle, I'm pretty into sour beers.
Yeah, Kyle should be kicking himself if he listens to this for not being on the episode, because this is his wheelhouse.
I'm really impressed. I mean, usually when it comes to sour beers, we were actually randomly talking earlier tonight off air about sour beers, and I was saying how I really like it to be like all sour, like melt your face sour or not at all. I don't like kind of the in between. For me, this is on I don't want to say lighter. I guess, you know, if it's 1 through 5 of sourness, I'd say this is like a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it does, like you said, it jumps out up front, and then it just kind of backs off.
It just lets it go. It dials it back. And it's kind of like quick punch, and then it just, like, kind of gives you a pat on the back.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry.
I like this a lot because you get all that full flavor, that burst up front, but it doesn't wreck your palate. You can still, you know, you can taste something else. I can still sit here and taste a couple other beers and pick out flavors in them as well because my palate finishes pretty clean.
I can see that.
I don't know. I'd probably go 6 with this. I like it a good amount.
Hey, once again, I wanted to go 6 on it as well.
Awesome.
It's funny how it's the exact same one. Awesome. Well, both of these beers actually fared pretty well. You know, a 6 for A and a 4 for B.
This is not a successful episode.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and reveal B. I think we're both guessing it's something like the Muho.
Yeah, I think so.
So B with an overall of 4 is... No, it's not. Oh. But it is by Terrapin.
Same company, okay.
Same brewery. It is Dos Cocos. Huh. It's a malt beverage with natural flavors added. Let me see what else I can pick out on this. Let's see if the ABV... I don't see any ABV on it, but there is a write-up. Fine print. It says, our fans voted and Terrapin has delivered. In 2012, you elected the beer we should bring out of retirement. The winner from 2008, side project number 4, Dos Cocos. By using the freshest cocoa shells and the choicest cocoa nibs from Olive and Sinclair Chocolate Company, this velvety smooth chocolate porter, drips with luxurious excellence. Sit back and melt into this lusciously brewed beverage and enjoy all the succulent flavor this beer has to offer.
So I thought they were aiming for a milk stout here. That's what I was anticipating, and so maybe they weren't. There might not be any lactose in this at all, and maybe that's why we're getting the sweetness.
5.6%. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, the artwork is really cool. It's got hops that are dipped in chocolate, and like the chocolate's dripping off of the end of the hop. Cool artwork, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks a pretty cool label.
I mean, it's a successful beer. It's good.
It's decent, yeah.
I mean, it's good. What else can you say about it? Did you want to take any guesses on A? What do you think it is? I have a guess, but only because I know that sours in Maryland are very limited. But let me see what your guess is, and I'll tell you.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Maybe I know there's a Flemish Red that we have in the area now. It's called Monk's Cafe.
Okay, interesting.
I'm thinking it might be that, but I'm not sure. I haven't had any of the sours in a while, so I'm a little out of
practice. I haven't really had sours, period. But I'm gonna take a stab in the dark and say it might be La Folie by New Belgium, which I've never had. But who knows? I'm just taking a stab. All right, A with an overall 6, and the winner of this episode is Monk's Cafe, a Flemish sour ale. Wow, Sean, you are on it. You called it Flemish. Wow. You called Monk's Cafe. I mean...
Sorry, all Kyle's fans, I let you guys down. I was just trying to pull one out of my ass there. So. No.
Tis a product of Belgium. And let's see what it has. We blend young and old beers to make this mildly sour ale. Light-bodied with a lactic sour nose and a bit of sweet and sour in the finish. Very refreshing.
Yeah, I think mildly sour, I think, is, you know, it's not like it's just slightly tart. I mean, this is a sour beer, but it's not, you know, it does, like I said, it doesn't blast your palate away. I think the La Folie, I mean, that's one beer that I really do like. That's a sour beer we can get consistently out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it's like drinking Warhead, like liquid Warheads.
Really?
It's an explosively sour beer. Really, really, really good. But you're not going to be able to switch from that to something else afterwards. You know, it's
just going to be done. Palate fatigue immediately.
It's if you're, you know, at the end of your night, if you've had a nice meal and you want to have a good dessert beer to split with somebody, pour one of those. It's excellent, excellent beer, but, it's cool. Definitely more of a burst than this one. This is, you could have a few of these and or have one of these and switch to something else. I think you'd be all right.
Yeah.
I like this a lot.
Well, I believe this has been a successful episode. Sean, thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks again for having me. Enjoyed it.
Love having you on. Kyle, you suck for missing this one because you missed out on the Monk's Cafe.
Go. We got sour beer, and it's good.
It's so good. So I think we're going to go ahead and sign off, but I want to remind everyone, check your bottle date codes.
Absolutely. It's really important.
Yes. Please do so. Oh, yeah, and one more important thing. Keep it brutal. I feel so.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.